This feels like a joke. A Greek and a Mexican speaking in English, man. So,
Faristi, Mexican wedding photographer, well known for his uniquely artistic photos.
Like, it's okay that not everybody likes our work. There's always something interesting happening on a wedding day. I hate when other photographers tell me, "Oh, I had a boring wedding." The boring person, it's you.
His mission: to turn your wedding into a visual heritage for the next generations. Spontaneous, poetic, and bold, his style transcends anything normal.
You can capture the most cliché moment in the most boring way. So for me, usually it's not the what is happening in front of me, it's how I capture it.
Let's explore his work and personality together.
After I taken the safe ones, I want to capture dreams.
Every single question you have about the wedding industry will be answered here. I'm Antonis Papadakis, and this is the Wed Podcast. Welcome. If you do like us, share some love and press the subscribe button. Let's start. Hola, Fer.
Hello, my friend. How are you, Antonis?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for being here. It's a great honor to have you here at the Wed Podcast. I want to know, what is your mentality when you are shooting a wedding?
Okay, this feels like a joke. A Greek and a Mexican speaking in English, man. So, yeah, good start. I think it took me like about 3 years to understand that I could be something else than a wedding photographer. I think at the beginning we think that we're only providing a service. There's something happening and we have to click it. We feel the influence by everyone that surrounds us. And now, especially with social media, it's so easy to see this picture has 10,000 likes. I have to photograph like this photographer.
Now you have stats. You can see what is more favorite to the couple.
Yeah, and it can change you the way you see. So I think for me, it took me 3 years to understand that I can bring something personal to weddings. And it was because of a lot of education. When I went to different conventions or back in the day when I saw a few DVDs of amazing photographers, that they were doing it on their own, you know, like indie musicians instead of trying to be mainstream. So nowadays, when I go to a wedding, I try to think that I'm not a wedding photographer. Try to see everything with fresh eyes and try to play with what's around me.
That's great. And you have a huge personality, as we can see from your photos.
Thank God it has been working for me for 17 years. So there's something right that I'm doing, but I cannot say exactly what it is, you know?
Okay, we can see what you are doing right. What kind of moments urge you to capture them? What's the moments you most like in the wedding?
Okay, so that's a tricky question, because you can capture the most cliché moment in the most boring way. So for me, usually it's not the what is happening in front of me, it's how I capture it. You know, like you can capture the cake cutting that for every wedding photographer is like, ugh, whatever, you know? Or you can try to find an interesting way of capturing the most boring things. So I love capturing quiet moments as well. You know, when nothing supposedly be happening, but you're aware of the composition, you anticipated the moment. I love those challenges that you think that something's gonna happen and you're ready for it. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. So there's a lot of deception and you have to say, fuck it, the next one's gonna work. So that's fuel for me.
So you have a lot of fails during the day because you are trying to reach the not boring photo.
Correct. Because I think you know what works. Our mind is full of pictures that we love and admire, and we just want to emulate them. And the tricky part is on important moments, risk a little bit. You know, so for me, going as a second shooter when I started was a huge school, you know, because if I fucked it up, it was like, okay, who cares? So I always invite people to second shoot. When they don't have a wedding, just hop on with a friend and try to play with it.
So what is the ideal couple and wedding that matches your style? What's your perfect wedding? Shit. Like the Ferguaristi wedding.
So I think it's people who care more about what they feel instead of how they look. And I think a lot of wedding photographers go in the aesthetics, you know, the, you look so beautiful. You look like a model. That's, I don't do that very well. So for me, it's couples that allow me to create and go crazy. And they want to experiment as well. They want to see how I see things. So it's there's always a risk. But those are my perfect couples. I don't care about the beautiful location. It's more about like, let's enjoy and let's create as a team.
But how you found them?
Nowadays, it's more about being quite selective with the things I share online. You know, if I only share beautiful people walking on the beach, beautiful people are going to call me and they want to have that wedding. So I try to call them by showing weird shit, by showing risky pictures, and by showing emotions. Sometimes on my pictures, people are crying in an awful way, you know? They're not going to be crying like in a Hollywood picture. So that's the way that you call them, by being very selective with your portfolio.
But you capture also the safe photos, so you are okay with the final product, or you are just...
I try. So imagine a ceremony that you know that there's going to be like, I don't know, 6 big moments. When I feel brave or when I feel with a lot of courage, I might risk on half of them. So half it's going to be safe and half it's going to be risky. If I feel insecure, I might risk on 1 or 2. So I try to play with that.
Do you have any advices for the wedding professionals that they can improve their brands or their mentality about the wedding day?
I think that one of the most difficult challenges that we have, it's like, it's okay that not everybody likes our work. That's the most difficult thing, because as creators, we want everybody to love our work. And if everybody loves your work, you're doing the safe stuff only. So there's always something interesting happening on a wedding day. So I hate when other photographers tell me, oh, I had a boring wedding. The boring person, it's you, as the photographer who's not working hard enough. So if something interesting is not happening with your couple, like go with the waiters and go to the kitchen and try to capture more layers than just the bride and groom doing shit, you know? So there's a world surrounding each wedding. So we have to be able to detach ourselves from the main story to tell like multiple stories.
What's your plan when you reach a new location? If you never have been there before, do you scout the location beforehand, or how you handle this?
Well, usually I try to hook up with some local photographers to have a drink, to feel the vibe of the city, so they can tell me their spots, to not use them, because if not, I'm going to do the same stuff, you know? And Yes, I remember the guys from Nordica, and now they organize Way Up North. So they told me that the first day they see everything as a National Geographic assignment. And I try to do that. When I do destination weddings, the first day, it's all about telling the story of the place and not only of the bride and groom. So I become like a travel photographer. And that way I can find cool spots. And usually I try to find spots that are around the place where the wedding is going to happen. Because you can go to amazing places that are far away and you're never going to get them. Unless the couple is willing to do that for you. So I try to find cool spots as closer to the venue as possible.
So as a travel photographer, you mean that you are shooting also the tradition? If you find something traditional from the place, like people or some other things, right?
Yes, like I think they are booking you because they love your vision. So not only of their faces in your pictures, but about everything. So I like to wake up quite early, sunrise, and then I just start walking and get lost in that city to feel it, to see the vibe, and just become a street photographer for a day.
How did you progress from shooting weddings in Mexico to destination weddings outside Mexico? How you read this out?
For me, it was because of the workshops. Sooner than later, a few people started to invite me to teach in different countries. And then one or two students were wedding photographers and they told me, we want you to become our wedding photographer. And that's how I started to shoot destination weddings, by working for other photographers. So most of my destination wedding work, the bride or the groom, or sometimes even both of them, are wedding photographers.
Oh, this is very nice for you, that they trust you to be their wedding photographer.
And it's always risky, you know, because you know that they know. So you cannot say bullshit. You have to, the bar gets higher when you photograph other photographers. I get more nervous, that's for sure. You want to surpass their expectations. You don't want to do like just the safe stuff. So yeah, I always feel the pressure more when I'm working for other photographers.
So can you tell us the storytelling of your images? What you try to express in the final wedding day?
So on portraits, after I taken the safe ones, I want to capture dreams. I want to pause reality and go beyond what's obvious. Because I think that sometimes as adults, we tend to get very boring and we see things as normal. You know, oh, there's a dog, or there's a house, or there's a tree. My idea is try to become a child again every time I grab the camera. So that way I feel amazed by everything that's around me. So I try not to consume a lot of wedding photography. I stopped working for awards as well, submitting weddings. I don't do anything like that, because if not, I'm gonna be just saturated by other colleagues. So my way is to always be like, this is my first wedding and my last wedding. So I have to do everything that I can in my power, no matter if I'm tired, no matter if I'm just done with it. And I try to see everything beautifully. That's always my goal, to be a kid or a child taking pictures.
You plan your shooting like the portraits. How you can plan to get your photos? Your style,
so,
I mean.
I plan them very, very minimally. So I arrive earlier than they are expecting me. And I use an app that's called Photo Pills to know where the sun's gonna be when I'm gonna take the portraits. And nowadays, I prefer to have no photo session. What it means is like, I prefer to take portraits in between everything else. You know, so instead of for them giving me like 30 minutes to do portraits, I say, hey guys, let's give me 30 seconds, but every time I ask for them. So that way we can do different portraits in different places instead of 30 minutes with the same light. People, they see them, they haven't seen themselves in sometimes in years. So they want to spend the most amount of time with their friends and families. Okay, so with that in mind, imagine that it's the cocktail hour and they're with a group of friends and I take pictures of them talking, having a good time. And then on my left, I see a beautiful beam of light and I say, hey guys, give me 30 seconds. I grab them, I position them, I take the picture and then they keep talking with them. So the flow of the day, it's different. Oh, okay, it's not on every wedding, but when it has happened, I feel less pressure and they enjoy the day more. Because as well, it's a wedding. It's not a fashion shoot, you know? And I think sometimes as wedding photographers, we think of ourselves as fashion photographers. And it's not like that. It's a wedding. It's a celebration.
Depends on your personality. Your personality, it's not to take the safe and the posing, let's say, portraits. You are more free, as I understand.
Yes, and if you're doing portraits and the groom starts looking at his phone, he's boring. He wants to be somewhere else. You know, we're not their friends. You know, so I prefer to see that. To see the signs. If he's not happy taking pictures, I say, hey guys, let's do something else afterwards, and that's been working.
In case you haven't done it already, please hit the subscribe button of our channel so that we keep growing. The more you help us grow, the more interesting professionals we will be able to host. So, subscribe today. Where do you get the inspiration?
Nowadays, I follow a lot of painters, the illustrators, and directors of photography as well from the movies. I love listening to their interviews, to their podcasts, because on cinema, everything has a reason. And it's a team effort. The director tells the cinematographer, I want to create this. And that guy chooses the light and chooses the lenses. So I love that. I love listening how they create things. And sometimes as wedding photographers, we just react. Oh, there's a beautiful light. Be there. And we go usually with warm tones because they are happy tones. You know, and on movies, they play more with color and with composition. So I get most of my inspiration listening to interviews of cinematographers.
Can you describe us the perfect setup? I mean, symmetry, lighting, background, about posing, you told us. But the whole package of this.
I'm always trying to find the cleanest spot available. Okay, so if I'm in a room, I'm trying to find which of the walls has the least amount of things, you know, like things hanging on the walls or a statue or whatever. I try to find the cleanest because usually on portraits, I'm trying to not show where we are. You know, that's one of my magic tricks. I don't want to be obvious that we're shooting in this place. And depending on the light, I'm gonna add an emotion to that light. So for me, soft light means like laughing and having a good time light. Harsh light, it's more artistic, like fashion or more stoic. And the backlight, it's more romantic. So depending on the light, I'm gonna choose the mood that I'm gonna ask for my couple to act or perform for me.
The couples don't want from you to have also the destination in their pictures.
Sometimes, but not on every portrait. And I think as destination photographers, sometimes we overuse that. That's why I try to capture the destination the day before. And when I do the portraits, I might use it for one or two, but not for every freaking photo. So I've been to some amazing destinations and it's not obvious that I'm on that destination. Because if not, it's like creating postcards with couples. You know, so here in Mexico, there's a lot of amazing destination places. I don't live there because if I live there, I will just lose the magic of the place.
Yes, but the final photos that the couples get, there are photos with the destination that you took like a travel photographer.
A few, only a few. It's not my mission. I think they don't book me because I shoot beautiful destinations with couples. You know, other photographers do that beautifully, but for me, it's not my goal.
Okay, and can you name us some of your favorite photographers?
Wedding photographers?
Yes, wedding photographers.
Okay, that I remember right now. Govinda Rumi, he's an amazing photographer from Bali. I love his style, I love his vision. Rafael Bojar from Poland. He's a freaking cuckoo badass motherfucker. I just love his stuff, man. I think Jennifer Moher from Canada, she's just so subtle and artistic. And I think I remember those three right now. And well, from Australia as well, Ollie Sanson, he's a weird person who creates amazing shit.
When you get an email from a couple, you send them a questionnaire so you can understand if your styles are fit, or you are just start a video call so you understand their style.
Before the video call, I send them full weddings so they can see like the storytelling of the day, not only my favorite pictures from Instagram. And then I send them on the same link. So it's full weddings and then my collections based on what they have told me. The place they're getting married and the country they're getting married. So if they like my portfolio and I'm under budget, now we do a Zoom call.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. How you approach the couple so you understand that what their needs, if they are okay with the budget, okay with your style, but they have some needs.
I usually ask them what's the must have image that I can't miss on their wedding day. And then I tell them as I was telling you, like when I go to a place, it's more about how it felt to be there instead of how you look. So that way, if they are very fashion, they're not going to book me, you know? There's amazing photographers who do fashion on weddings. So on our Zoom calls, I start opening other photographers' Instagrams because I don't want them to I don't want to force them to book me, you know? Usually I shoot around 20 weddings per year. So it doesn't have to be that hard to make a match between what they want, the price, and your style. So in Mexico, a lot of times wedding planners recommend you. So I have to educate the wedding planners, like my perfect kind of couples are like this. You know, they don't care about looking at the camera. They want to capture just emotions and they want to create art on the portraits. So when I tell them that, it's easy for them to recommend me with different kind of couples.
You can give me an answer about your budget or not.
So I have different budgets depending if it's a Mexican couple getting married in Mexico or if it's an American couple getting married in Mexico. It's different because cost of living, it's different. But nowadays I start at $6,000. That's my starting price and above.
And the destination for sure will be more.
Yeah, because the traveling, but nowadays, like after COVID and all that shit, I'm doing more destination weddings inside Mexico.
So now we are now going to the last guest question. Mm-hmm. The last guest leaves a question for you.
Uh-huh.
And you will give us a question for the next one. Which part of your workflow you are not likely to outsource to others and why?
I think the calling, the selecting of the pictures. I shoot a lot. I shoot around 10,000 to 12,000 pictures by myself per wedding. And I think that's like you going to university to see all your mistakes and find the right ones. It's like your contact sheets, like back in the old days. You have your contact sheet and then you were you have to choose which is the best one of a series of photos. And for me, that's where I learned the most, by analyzing what I did right and what I did wrong. And nowadays people are want to outsource that part. And for me, that's where you learn the most, by your mistakes or, oh, I have to take 10 pictures more. I think a lot of photographers think that by shooting less, they're better photographers. And for me, it's the other way around. I have to overshoot and then find the golden nuggets in all that stuff. So I cannot outsource my calling or my selecting of photos.
And how many photos you are finally providing to the couple?
Depending on how many hours did I work, but usually it's between 600 to 800 photos.
Thank you very much, Fer. It was very interesting episode. And I will be waiting for you here in Athens for the next one.
Definitely. Yeah, this year I'm going to Italy. I have a wedding there and I'm doing a workshop as well. So yeah, I'm starting to fly again, but it's slowly. Mm-hmm.